My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting page 204. How do the saints hear us? They hear us as being one in the Holy Spirit with us, that they may be one in us. St. John 17:21. As members of one church of God, having for her head the one Christ, and animated by the one Spirit of God, the saints see and hear us in the Holy Ghost in the same manner as we see and hear with our bodily eyes and ears by means of light and air. But our body sight is hearing, and hearing are very imperfect in comparison with spiritual sight and hearing. At a great distance we cannot see many objects and cannot hear many sounds, but spiritual sight and hearing are perfect. Not a single movement of the heart, not a single thought, not a single word, intention, or desire escapes them, because the Spirit of God in whom the saints dwell see and hear us in all perfect, omniscient, all-seeing and all-hearing, for he is omnipresent. The power of prayer is sufficient, for instance, to open and shut heaven, to turn fire into dew. Those whose prayer is specially powerful, the prayer of the Mother of God, by thy holy and all-powerful supplications, and that of the saints in heaven, on earth, the prayers of God's priests, as of those placed by God himself at his very throne to pray for themselves and for his people, for himself and for the errors of the people, Hebrews 9:7, and the prayers of venerable men, of hermits, for him will I accept. Christians are slothful in prayer. From this arise want of faith, hope, and love, sins and iniquities, spiritual and bodily misfortunes. Christians are slothful in prayer. From this arise want of faith, hope, and love, sins and iniquities, spiritual and bodily misfortunes. Priests of God, believe with your whole heart, believe always in the grace given to you from God to pray for God's people. Let not this gift of God be in vain in you, for by it you can save many souls. The Lord speedily hears your heartfelt prayer for his people and is easily inclined to have mercy upon them, as he had at Moses's, Aaron's, Samuel's, and Apostles' prayers. Avail yourself of every opportunity for prayer in church, when you celebrate divine service or a mystery sacrament, in private houses, at the administering of these sacraments, during prayers and of thanksgiving. Everywhere and at all times think of the salvation of God's people, and you shall also obtain great grace of God for yourself. Be always as convinced that you live every moment by the life-giving Trinity as that you are lighted by the material light, are fed by meal and drink, and breathed by means of air, by these three things united in you for you. The substance of the world is nothing. Everywhere and in all things is the life-giving Spirit of God higher than anything. When you pray to God, represent to yourself that matter is as though non-existent, and that all creatures are as though non-existent, but that God alone is omnipresent and one, having no determined place and limits, and filling, embracing, creating, and keeping all things. If you yourself are free from attachments to material things and give yourself to prayer and fasting, then even in you the spirit will as though swallow up the flesh, and you will become spiritual and will contemplate God, the spirit, everywhere in nature, whilst on the contrary, those who are attached to earthly things, especially to food and drink, to money, become sensual, having not the spirit. And in everything, they only see the flesh, not contemplating the spirit, and even rejecting the spiritual side of things. Where there is the constructing material, there the constructor must absolutely be supposed, because matter, not having in itself either sense or power, cannot organize itself, cannot grow and bring forth fruits. It is evident that at every moment it must be governed by an infinite mind, by an all-powerful hand. As the material sun is reflected with its whole circle and with all its radiance in the innumerable transparent objects upon earth, so likewise the spiritual sun God is pleased to reflect himself in innumerable things, both in heaven and upon earth, there in the angels, here in men, and as the light even of the material sun is not restricted by dense though transparent bodies, but passes through them unimpeded, shines even in the rooms of a house closed upon all sides to the outside air, or in transparent objects turned towards it, so likewise the spiritual light is not restricted for the spiritual beings by any material obstacles, neither by walls of the house, nor by the dark walls and walls of prison, nor by huge mountains in the caverns of which the servant of God were concealed, nor in the abysses of earth. He penetrates everything and shines forth everywhere in every soul capable of receiving the light of the heavenly truth unto itself. Paul and Silas prayed in their prison and sang praises unto God, and the Lord heard their prayer. Acts 16:25-26. When we pray, then the ears of the Lord are inclined to our prayer. He is then, as in general he always is, as near to us as the icon before which we stand, and even much nearer. He is close to our very heart. His presence near us is as manifest as the visible icon, and therefore the icon is only a visible representation of how near the Lord is to us, how he looks upon us and hears us. And God's saints in the Holy Spirit are also as near to us as the Holy Ghost is near to us, who is everywhere present and fills all things, whose temples we are. And in the Holy Spirit they see and hear us in the same way as we see and hear people speaking to us. For the Holy Ghost is the medium by which we see and hear even ordinary things. You have seen that on the icons of the saints, the Lord Jesus Christ is represented above with the imperial globe in one hand and with the other extended in blessing. This is taken from reality. From heaven, the Lord ever watches over those who come back for his sake upon earth. He helps them actively as the Almighty King in their struggle with the enemies of salvation. Blesses his wrestlers with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, and bestows the crown of life upon them after they have finished their earthly exploits. Thus, Christians, all of you, strengthening yourself in faith and hope, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who ever watches over you and sees all your acts from the heavenly heights, as he looked down upon the protomartyr Stephen, opening unto him heaven and his glory, as he looked upon Saul, afterwards Paul, and also revealed himself to him in the heavens, enlightening him with his light and calling him with his voice. Acts 7:55-56. And 9:3-4. The object of our lives is union with God, and this life by faith, hope, and love, and in a future one by all perfect love. But see how the enemy and we ourselves here distort this object. We unite ourselves and our hearts with various things in accordance with the diversity of our passionate attachments. Sometimes, oh horror, our love is fixed upon silver, upon food, drink, dress, dwelling, furniture, upon men like unto ourselves, until we forget God. Sometimes we are proud, we envy, hate, lie, and then we unite ourselves directly with the devil himself, who is a malice, falsehood, pride, envy personified, and how we thus insult our Master, who created us after his image and likeness, how we distort his divinity drawn image, divinely drawn image, drawn from God himself. But we think of this too little, are too ignorant of that which is the most essential matter for us, our union with God. He who knows the constancy and malice of the bodily spirits against himself will not greatly despond, although they may use every means to purge his heart into despondency. He will not grow irritated at everything, knowing that they, the enemies, strive in every way to incite us to irritation, to make us malicious, envious, to attach us to money and material gain. But there is one condition necessary for this. We must watch over ourselves, for the enemy not infrequently disguises himself under the form of our self-love and ambition, and as though he defends our welfare, whilst in reality he is absolutely destroying us. Christian hope, how many are deprived of thee through the snares of the invincible enemies? How many fall into despair and take away their own lives? Think of those who, of their own free will, have laid hands upon themselves by hanging, by drowning themselves, or in other ways, also drunkards and others. The Lord spoke the word of promise, and his word shall be fulfilled. He speaks, and it shall not be. The Lord points to the law of nature, to their constancy and firmness, as proof of the faithfulness of his promises. You have left in your heart you had felt in your heart during prayer or during the reading of the Word of God and other holy books, and sometimes even during the reading of the worldly ones of well-intentioned contents, in which, for instance, some event representing the action of God's providence upon men is described, or during edifying conversation, a still small voice, as though a current of electricity was passing through the body. It is the Lord visiting you. A still small voice, 1 Kings 19:12, and the Lord is in it. When you pray to Our Lady or to any saint steadfastly, represent to yourself that you are a member of the church in which Our Lady is the chief stone of the edifice, the first origin of spiritual renovation, Acacius to the Most Holy Mother of God, and know that you are closely, inwardly united with all the heavenly dwellers as one of the stones of the edifice, though not a firm, strong one. Thus, by understanding yourself, you will understand why prayer is so easily reached, if saints, for we are all under one head, Christ, Ephesians 1:22, and are all animated by the same Spirit of God. The Lord is the cause and constant support power of my organic bodily life through the action of the lungs, the stomach, the heart, the veins and muscles, and of my spiritual organic life through the mind and thought, through the enlightenment of my heart by His light. Wonderful is the power of faith. Only the lively thought of God, only heartfelt faith in Him is required, and He is with me. Only hearty repentance for sins with faith in Him is required, and He is with me. One good thought, and He is with me. A pious feeling, and He is with me. But the devil enters into me through impure, evil, blasphemous thoughts, through doubt, fear, pride, irritability, malice, avarice, envy. Therefore, his power over me entirely depends upon myself. If I only keep watch over myself and continually preserve in my mind the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with faith and love, he will be powerless to do any harm. Strive to do everything in opposition to that which he, with the bodiless enemy, wishes you to do. He incites you to pride, to self-glorification, and to judging your brother. You must humble yourself to the ground and ashes. Judge yourself as severely as possible, and praise your brother in your heart. Should your brother, through the action of the enemy, behave proudly and maliciously to you, you must behave humbly and lovingly to him. If the enemy incites you to avarice, be generous with goodwill. Act thus in all similar circumstances, and you will obtain great grace from God, and will see this yourself with your spiritual eyes. If you have not inward strength to do so, the enemy being, as you say, very powerful, then ask in your prayer, and every time and every hour of the Almighty, and He will help you. According to the measure of the Spirit and truth with which you begin to pray before the holy icon, for instance, of the Savior, in the same measure the Spirit of Him who is represented upon the icon is attached to the icon, so that if your faith in the presence of a person represented upon the icon attains such a height that you see that person living before you, then you, by grace, he is actually there. The wonder-working images which speak, from which flow tears, blood, etc., are examples of this, and this is why such images all look extraordinary, living, and expressive. What can be impossible to God, who is able to give life to stone and form man out of it? He can miraculously accomplish the same with a painted image. All things are possible to him that believeth. And the highest miraculously comes down from heaven to him that believeth. He is similarly united with and works miracles by the sign of the life-giving cross. What is man if he is not the image of God enshrined in earth? Because the human body is nothing but earth. Therefore, do not wonder at God appearing in material images and even speaking by the mouth of an image. For with God all things are possible. St. Mark 9, chapter 23, verse. When it was required, he even spoke with the human voice by the mouth of an ass. Numbers 22:28. So, living and true is sometimes said of a portrait that all only speech is wanting, if a man is capable by his art of giving life to the canvas or a board or paper, then what can be impossible to God? Why cannot he breathe life into an image and give it the capability of speaking? If it pleases him, only speech is wanting. You have done everything, artists, on your part, but let the Lord complete your work, and he will make the image speak. There is a spiritual world. There is a communion of souls which those at a distance and with the departed. They see and hear us, and here is an evident proof of this. A woman whose husband was ill and was lying in a room at a distance of some 400 miles from her, and who afterwards died, saw one evening the people who came to him, what he was doing, and heard the words that he spoke. Do not the saints see us in the same manner? Do not they hear our prayers in the same manner? And looking upon the faces of others, I see my own face, for we are all as one, created by God from one single man, from the same blood, and all equally after the image of God, and therefore we must look upon all purely, unsuspiciously, not immimically, not cunningly, not avariciously, but with pure godly love. Also, when looking upon icons, upon the faces of the saints, the image of the Mother of God, and that of the man God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, I see myself in them, for they are also men, and through his incarnation and humanization, Jesus Christ, our God, has wholly clothed himself in me, having thus honored mankind with an immeasurable honor, driving away the stench of sin from those who believe and are baptized in him, and making them fragrant with the holiness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them through faith, baptism, and the communion of his divine body and blood. Thus see yourself in others, that others may see themselves in you. Love all as yourself. Also see yourself and mankind in Christ, in his most pure mother, and in the images of saints, and assimilate yourself to God and his saints by imitating their holiness, that they too may see themselves in you. In proportion as you become like unto God, and then by virtue, and that they may recognize in you their member when you appear at the universal judgment, and may receive you into their midst as one of themselves. I want to rejoice in the fact that it very often happens to me to carry in my mind and heart, and to pronounce with my lips the name of God, the name of Our Lady, the Mother of our God, those of the holy angels and saints, either of them, or by name during the year, or of the special ones daily mentioned in the church prayers, or in the office of the blessings of the water. For the name of God, as well as the name of the Mother of God, our all-powerful mediatrix, remembered sincerely from the whole heart, sanctifies, quickens, and comforts, and the saints, our intercessors, before God pray for us when we call upon them in prayer, and enlighten us by their manifold virtues. It is good to have union with God and the heavenly dwellers. By means of prayer we obtain remission of our sins. I forgive thee, O that debt, because thou desirest me. St. Matthew 18, chapter 32nd verse. Experience proves the same. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. St. John 6, chapter 56 verse. This we feel and experience confirms it. Most blessed, most full of life is the man who communicates of the holy mysteries with faith and heartfelt repentance for his sins. This we truly feel, and the contrast is also manifest. If we approach the holy cup without sincere repentance for sins, and with doubt, then Satan enters into us and dwells in us, destroying our soul, and this too is most perceptible. All things are near to God, says the Russian proverb. Truly everything is near, O spiritual and sentient creatures, the angels, the souls of the departed, O living men, O animals, O material worlds. The Spirit of God passes through all things, a reasoning, pure, most refined spirit, dwelling in every believing, pious soul. The wild beasts of the field are in my sight. Psalm 111, says he, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. St. Matthew's 28th, chapter 20th verse. As an infinite spirit to God, nothing is far away, but all things are before him, as upon the palm of the hand. He is holy everywhere, and all things are in him. All things live and exist by him. God and the created spirits and the souls of the departed, as well as those of the living, are thinking, and thought is rapid, and in some sort omnipresent. Think of them with your whole heart, and they will be present with you. God always, and necessarily so, and others by the gift of the power of God. When I am in heavens, I think upon God. Why? Because he is with you and in you. When your heart is enveloped in the darkness of Satan, the darkness of the passions, then it denies God. Although it ought, in that case, to deny its very light, it has become darkened, and therefore its spiritual eyes are closed and do not see God. But this does not mean that there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 19, 1 verse, truly a fool. To the name of Jesus Christ, or to the sincere thought of Jesus Christ, is united with great power, able to drive away the passions and give peace to the heart. The same may be applied to the name of the holy angels and saints, beginning with the Mother of God, down to the holy and righteous men of Urodivy, for Christ's sake. Urodivy is a name. Somebody that's not looking too well. Only call upon their names sincerely, and by the grace of God, they too will help you. Urodia means fool for Christ. And as icons of the Savior and of every Orthodox house show his omnipresence, his sovereignty in every place, while the images of the saints, the presence with us or the nearness to us of the saints, by the grace of God, as members of the one body of church, united under the one head, Christ. As doubt, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. St. John 17, chapter 21st verse. This is the reason why we must pray to the saints. They are in God, and God is in them, and this is why they hear us. That is owing to their being in the omnipresent God. For holy art thou, O our God, and thou restest in the saints. Explanation of Vespers. For the sake of our faith alone, the spiritual mountains, that is, the heights and burdens of sins, are removed. This is why when Christians release themselves from the burden of their sins by repentance and confession, they sometimes say, "Thank God, a mountain has fallen off my shoulders." During prayer, a sincere seeking after amendment is indispensable. As by means of an electric telegraph, we speedily communicate with persons who are far away from us, so likewise by the means of a lively faith, as though through the telegraph wires, we speedily communicate with God, with the angels, with saints, as we entirely trust to the speed of the electric current and to its reaching its destination, so likewise we should completely trust to the speed of the prayer of faith and to its reacting its towards it reaching its destination. Send your petition to God and to the saints by means of telegraph of faith, and you will speedily obtain an answer. The answering signs of the telegraph are simple, but the experience read them. The actions upon the heart of God of all spirits and of all flesh and of all the saints are likewise simple, but the experienced understand them. A wonderful proof of the omnipresence of God. For instance, your heart is wounded by an attachment, even a momentary one, to silver, let us suppose, and it begins to ache. But as soon as you say to God from your whole heart, "Thou art my only treasure, thou art my silver and gold and food and raiment," you will immediately feel relieved. There are many people who pray in such a manner that they seem to worship God in vain. There are also some persons who pray and they are so slothful and evil that when they feel an influx of impure and evil thoughts in their heart and head, they immediately leave off praying and flee from the church or from before the icon in their home. If you wish to pray with a life-giving prayer, first of all, strengthen your heart in the Lord. "My heart is strengthened, rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." From the time since the first man sinned, men became so darkened by sin, and in the very center of their being, in their hearts, that they very often have not any consciousness and feeling of the omnipresence of God, and think that four walls and the ceiling can conceal from him who fills all things, who sees even those who hide themselves in secret places. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? "Do not I fill heaven and earth?" Jeremiah 23rd chapter 21st verse. "I was naked and I hid myself." Genesis 3:10. "But it did not avail. My soul is in God, as a fish in water, or a bird in the air, surrounded by him upon all sides, at every time. It lives in him, it moves in him, it rests in him, and finds freedom in him. My thought, either bright or dark, my conscience either accusing or excusing." Romans 2:15. "My heart either tranquil and joyful or sorrowful and oppressed. The organization of my body, the organization of the worlds and of the earth which we inhabit, with all that is in it and around it, incessantly testify to the continual presence in me, with me, and everywhere of mine and your Creator. May the dark and foolish thought that I am forsaken by my God, that he is not ever with me, ever flee far away from me. Amen."